Hello everyone, a very warm welcome back to QDocs, the quest for the adventure of learning and knowing through stories. Yes, and when we talk about the stories, you know, the people who are senior citizens, they have amazing and awesome stories to tell us. And sometimes they feel different kind of challenges, especially in today's technological world. There are few gaps between the senior citizens and the accessories, the technological accessories they can access. So talking about that, today we are going to dive more into the technological development by an amazing person who is working towards specifically to help our senior citizens. With that, I would like to welcome Dawn M. Williams on the episode. She has been an entrepreneur for 20 years. She is a salon owner, a podcaster, teacher of technology for seniors, and she is also an author. You're most welcome on QDocs, Dawn.
Thank you.
I'm really excited to dive more into the topic, but before we dive into the topic, can you please share what your unique story has been until now?
Well, like you said, I've been an entrepreneur for 20 years. I have a different perspective because a lot of times people as entrepreneurs don't talk about the emotional side of it. That was my first book. So basically, when you're an entrepreneur, it's like a constant learning of yourself and understanding your own temperament, because you have to have those types of that type of patience when you're dealing with the public. And that can float over easily to your household, because if you are able to be patient with your clients, then there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to be patient with your spouse or with your children or anything like that. So it's been a lot of things I've learned along this journey, and that kind of floated me right into technology for inside of a nursing home for quite some time. So I'm naturally connected to seniors. I've always been that way. My youngest son is the same way, where seniors are drawn to us. And I noticed that there was a need for them to understand technology. But more importantly, I believe that there's an embarrassment that comes along with how far behind a lot of them are, you know? So throughout this journey, I've noticed I can recognize the embarrassment and not be condescending towards the seniors, which is what a lot of them experience from their own children, where you can see them just freeze up like, I'm not going to ask too many more questions, because it's traumatizing. It's like technology is like a whole different language. You know, some of them, a lot of them, especially in the upper ages, what we call the silent generation, that's past baby boomers. Some of them don't even know if they have an Android or an Apple, you know, and if you put yourself in their shoes, that's horrifying, you know, because you can't function. Think of how we get reminders from our physician, you know, when you go to the doctor and they send you your bill or, you know, your bank, stuff like that. They're not sending a lot of stuff in the mail. They want your stuff to be digital. And even with COVID, when that happened, where the whole world shut down, that was terrifying as well, especially for people who don't know anything about technology. They don't have Wi-Fi, you know?
True.
So
it's really true. Yeah.
So I could just see especially when I teach the one-on-one classes, the embarrassment, and then the way they talk down to themselves, where they'll be like, I'm so stupid and this and that. And I'm like, you're not stupid. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just the easiest way for me to explain it to elderly people is it's like you're reading a book. You're reading a digital book, because they look at the screen and they go, they don't know what an icon is. They don't know what an app looks like when you tap it or how long to tap it. Just those things we take for granted, where we just easily flip up a phone and do that. They just is stuck.
So, yeah. So what you're saying is, exactly, which especially in the last 2 years, which we have been observed and experienced, every one of us, when we were locked down in our houses, in our rooms. And most of the time, these elderly people who are not having access to their near and dear ones, it might have been pretty much difficult for them. And especially talking about the very important point, which you said, we need to be patient. We need to be patient with everyone in our own day-to-day life, because this is a very immense quality of a person to understand another person and how to respond to the situation instead of reacting to the situation, right? So now I am a bit curious. So why you picked up this topic specifically? What has happened in your own personal life and what you have observed from where this whole journey has started?
Well, it started with my grandma. Let me take it back where it really started. My eldest child used to come to the salon. I'm in the salon now. So yeah. He used to come here and help with just to earn the allowance. And I recall it was a lot of my older clients that'll be like, come here and help me with my phone. And it was significant where it was ongoing, but he wasn't too interested in it. And when I say that, it's like, it take a lot to be an entrepreneur and really go full-fledged. So I kind of let it go. And then I recommenced again when I saw my grandma struggling. And I was like, just curious as to how far behind she was. And she just is all the way far behind. And that inspired me. So then I started helping my older clients. And then it, when I decided to write the second, the last three books I just wrote, it was because I started teaching in-person classes in my county where I live. And that's where I learned that they didn't even know what an Android was and what an Apple was. And that's when I was like, oh my goodness, they need like huge books, you know, not like little, they need like a big old picture book that got pictures and stuff in it, because they went to school without technology. They learned by somebody writing on a chalkboard and the teacher teaching verbally. So to go from that to like how we're doing, like on Zoom, they can't, that's too much. It's too much with the sensory and everything. And it just, it's like they can only learn a little bit at a time. And so, yeah, it was my grandma. That was the most significant part of why I said I got to go full-fledged with this, because she's 85. And she's independent enough to cook for herself and clean for herself and, you know, but that is a part where she's not. And I said, one day you're going to need this, because, you know, since they go to the doctor all the time, elderly people, the doctor's building a case to protect themselves. So that's going to be in the notes. You need assistance for XYZ. You can't take care of yourself, you know, and that's just, like I said, I was in a nursing home. I see how people just, that's how they go to a nursing home. If you can't be 100% self-sufficient, you know, you're at the mercy of your government, or at least the U.S. government. That's how I work over here.
I am really happy that you're doing such a great work, and especially how you were able to analyze the importance of the work which you are doing. Of course, it was started from your own home, but then you end up writing the books and helping other people out there. So can you please tell us more about, like, when you are teaching these elderly people, what are the different kind of techniques which you are using to teach them? Because what we see now or in our generation, how we are learning the things are different, as you mentioned, compared to them. So it's pretty much difficult for our brain to adapt to the new version or the new era. So what are the different kind of techniques which you're using over there?
So what I do, the first class, I have a PowerPoint presentation, and I actually put it on like multiple devices. So you know, you got old devices laying around the house So I took those old devices and downloaded a PowerPoint presentation. So they'll have a piece of paper, like a little booklet, not my book, but like a booklet for them to go along with, in addition to looking at the PowerPoint presentation, in addition to a big one that's behind my head. So it's kind of like they're able to work the tablet, and I'm telling them to slide down, you know, and I'm telling them, you know, the definitions of it. And then, so they got like two different things going on at one time so that they understand. Because by the next class, it's going to be straight up PowerPoint. You see, because like I explained to them, it's about being cost effective. It costs me money to print that stuff. I'm not going to keep printing that stuff every single time. And if you want the book, you're going to have to pay for the book. It's not free. But what's free is I'll dedicate the time and do a PowerPoint presentation. So some people need more help than others. Some people, it's no help. If some of them is so stubborn and set in their ways and traumatized. Like, it was a guy that was extremely traumatized in one of my classes because he got ripped off through a scammer that said that they were from Amazon. They got all his information. And even though I'm trying to explain to him that that's why you need to come to the class, so I could teach you what does a scammer sound like, you know, what does they look like, what do they type, he was so stuck. They need a therapist. I'm not a therapist. So it's for the ones that's willing to learn, you could just tell. They're just like, you could just see the whole energy and the body language. If I hit you with that pitch, like what I just said to you earlier about you losing your independence and XYZ, if I don't get you with that, I'm not going to beg to teach you. You know, it's really no point. But there's a lot of seniors that's willing and want to learn because they understand the connection. Also, sometimes it was a senior I met. She came to the class because she found out the hard way when she lost everything. And then she thought that her children were going to drop everything and take care of her. That's not logical. Like, if we got to work till we're 65 years old, you can't be a full-time caregiver, like an adult. I can't do that unless you have a flexible schedule. So she lost everything. And that's when she realized she had to be up on technology. You can't ask your neighbor, how do I dial out? There are no pay phones. What are you going to do if you're stranded and you have to use somebody's phone real quick, and then it's maybe you're used to Android, you need to know how to operate an iPhone. You see what I'm saying? Like, so I just kind of gauge people out, and most of the time they're pretty open, especially because I'm not being nasty and I'm not condescending. So they kind of tell you where they're at, what they need help with, you know. So it just depends on the person.
Yeah, exactly. It differs person to person, and especially about their own personal experiences in their day-to-day life. As you mentioned, few of them has been scammed or something like this. And when this thing happens, as a human being, particularly, we try to build a wall around us so that it can never happen, right? And particularly I, coming from the technical background too, I feel that there is this this gap between the elderly people are not able to have access to the technology in a correct way, and they're not able to understand it. And how well we can simplify the things and teach them so that they can use it in a much better way. That's really an important aspect at the moment. And so the another thing is also that how much they are willing to learn, as you mentioned, right? That few people don't want to because they don't feel the need of it, or they are not totally into that picture. But sometimes it's really a trouble for them because it's too much of work, of course, if you don't know about the things. But at the end, it's again that how much you're willing to pay your time in, especially. So when you're teaching, so nowadays, are you teaching only offline and online, or you are also taking the classes in person?
It's in person right now. I'm about to have my first online session. We'll see how that goes. But I want to eventually, because this is kind of new, this whole me, you know, this whole thing, but I want to eventually get to online, but right now it has to be in person because this is not what they're used to. They're not used to digital. You know, they need somebody physically sitting down with them. And like I said, even with my grandma, when I was helping her with the phone the other day, even to slide her finger up on the phone, she was pressing it for too long. So it's like you have to literally show them, and it can't be through a screen. I think it's too overwhelming for a lot of them. So I think I want to get them to the point where they're able to, we could just do a Zoom call, which a lot of seniors are. They, you know, a lot of seniors, you could just put them on a Zoom call and then it's fine. But I, you know, yeah. Eventually I want to get to that.
True. So before we move on now towards the outro questions for today's session, can you please share about your books, which you have been written and you are writing currently? What are they about? And diving a bit more into the books, and what is your passion about to write these ones?
Writing is therapeutic. So it's like relaxing. So basically my first book is called Building Your Trojan Creative Horse. That one was about entrepreneurship. This didn't happen where my previous location where I had a salon, the owner had a drinking problem and she was doing crazy stuff like cutting off the air conditioning and stuff like that. So the Technology for Seniors is a smaller book. That's going to be a series that I can see being ongoing, because the very first book starts with somebody who may not have anybody and they may not be close enough to me for me to teach them. So it literally tells you how to open up the box, what a charger is, what a USB cord is, you know, defining every single thing, how to answer a call, how you swipe it. And then the next set of books is the same book. That's level 1B, but it's one is for Android and one is for Apple, because I didn't want to confuse them, you know, because if you're still at that level, I could see you easily being confused, because Apple is different with the browser where you have Safari as the browser, but Android, you can have a lot of different browsers. So I didn't want to confuse them. And then, you know, it's going to be in my goal is to keep going like every month and come out with books. And they're not long on purpose. They're like 35 to 50 pages, because like I said, I don't want to overwhelm them. I could see my seniors, they'd be overwhelmed. They go, that's enough. I just can't do it anymore. It's just, you know, just like I think us, you know, when we go to school or, you know, elementary school all the way up to college, it's a limit. They got a curriculum on what they're going to teach you per day, yeah, depending on what they feel as though your brain can hold. So them, they have no problem saying, oh, that's too much. Okay, that's enough. You know, so the books, I feel as though it's endless, because look at technology. It's constantly moving on and on and on and reinventing itself. So, and as long as it's doing that, I don't mind writing books. It's killing two birds with one stone. It makes me feel better. And then it helps elderly people as well.
Yeah. As I said, that's really an amazing and great work you are doing. And from the service point of view, it's wonderful. So now we are moving to the outro questions for today's episode. So the very first question is, what inspires you the most?
I say other people that are entrepreneurs. That makes me, like, that's why I like to surround myself with people who have that hustle mode about them, because it makes me go, wow, you know, and it inspires me, you know, more so than somebody who's just like, life is horrible, this and that. I like to surround myself with people that motivate me in that. So that in itself, people are not entrepreneurs. Like, it could be my children, you know, both of them have done things that inspire me where I'll be like, wow, you know, they're so good at certain things, you know. So I find inspiration in a lot of people where I could see what your strength is, and I'll be like, man, look at you, you know, where, you know, a lot of people didn't even realize they were good at, you know, a particular thing. But it just, it makes me feel like, wow, you know, you're good at X, Y, Z. So that's
what. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That means you are really a good learner, and these vibes which you get in the community of the entrepreneurs, that's really amazing and different vibes which we get there. Now coming to the second question is, what are you most grateful for in your life?
I'm most grateful for, I would say, Islam. I am Muslim. I grew up Christian. And in the first book, it outlines how disastrous my life was. So I'm grateful that I met, it brought me to meeting my husband, my second husband, which that's how I got introduced to Islam. And you could just tell how, you know, basically Allah put us together. It's an amazing story how we met, because we met through three of his family members at different times. And it was like, it was clear that we're supposed to be, his cousin is still my client to this day. I was doing his cousin's hair and didn't even know. So we didn't realize that everybody knew each other until I went to one of their family events. So it was just interesting, you know? So yeah. I'm really grateful for how all that stuff happened, and just to be alive. I'm grateful to be alive as well.
Amazing, amazing. I'm so happy for you. And now going to the last question is, which is the single best piece of advice you have ever received in your life until now?
I would say, oh, something that my husband said, he has no filter. It just comes out, you know? So yeah. It was one time where something happened. And it's that's in my book too, where I was talking about I had to go to court and I was crying. I was so just weak. And he was like, he said, listen, life is hard. Get over it. What's the next move? Like, that's his whole thing. Like, look, bump that. We ain't got time to be worried about being all emotional crying. We just gonna move on to the next thing. So every time something crazy happens, I'm a good planner, which really brought out the planner in me, but he'll just come to me and be like, all right, what's the plan? You know, because I'm good at organizing and like, yeah, we're gonna do this. You know, I just gotta sit and think about that. So yeah, that was great advice, and I use it to this very day, just to keep moving and get over it. Whatever it is, we're just going to keep on going.
I think that's very, very true. We just need to get going on, you know, because we never know, first of all, what's coming next. And the second thing is, whatever has happened, and just go and get over it and take the next move and open the new doors for the adventure. That's what I truly believe in, because life is all about adventures.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I really love that. Yeah, for sure. Because if we are confined to our own comfort zone, or if we are confined to our own past, then we close the doors for the amazing future. And that is how the life is. So thanks a lot, Don. It has been really nice talking to you, and thanks a lot for sharing your story and the work which you are doing is amazing and wonderful. I wish you all the best. And before we sign off for today, can you please share where the audience can reach out to you?
Yes. Everything that I said can be found at, just go to IamDawnWilliams.com. Just a sentence, IamDawnWilliams.com. It got all the links, my social media, Technology for Seniors, the books, all that.
Yeah, and for the listeners out there, the link is available below in the description of this episode. You can directly go through it. And until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and most important, stay amazing. Ciao, tschüss, and goodbye.